My name's Damali, and my list is called the 25 Things Thing. Number 3 on my list. I have proposed marriage to 3 different men. I wouldn't call any of them serious proposals, but I would have followed through fully had they turned into marriages.
3 proposals. Proposal number 1, teenagers.
Proposal number 1 was to my high school boyfriend, and his name was Ranjeev. I was really smitten with him. He was my first boyfriend ever, like my first real serious boyfriend. He was going off to college. He was a year older than me, and I just didn't want to let go. And we were trying to stay together. I mean, I think all those kind of senior, junior, high school relationships try to do that. So I got really, really wrapped up in his leaving and wanting to stay together, and I saved up my money, and I remember there was a store called Fire and Ice. And they had these beautiful rings, and one was silver with a big turquoise rectangle stone, and I just thought it would look so beautiful against his skin. He was half Indian and half white, and I used to love the fact that our skins were the same shade, and when our hands were together, it would kind of blend together, but my skin had like a yellow undertone, and his had a pink undertone, and so I would try on this ring and just like kind of visualize it on his finger. Anyway, long story short, we went out for Mexican food one night, and I remember being really picky because I wanted to go to a nice restaurant. He didn't understand why I was being such a pain in the butt. And we ended up on the steps of my elementary school, just kind of hanging out and talking, and I pulled out the ring and I asked him to marry me. He was pretty dumbstruck, as any, like, 18-year-old boy would be. He said he didn't really know what to say, which I guess was kind of like an I'll think about it, but no. You know, like I think it was pretty much a no. He accepted the ring, although, and this should have been a big clue that maybe I didn't want to spend the rest of my life with him. He didn't like the blue stone. He said it was kind of homo. Even then, you know, I was very socially conscious and things were important to me, and I really wouldn't want to marry somebody who would describe anything as homo. Being the, like, stupid, humble romantic I am, instead of being like, you should accept the beautiful ring I got you, I went back and I exchanged it for one with a black stone. He went off to college and lost his virginity to the girl next door. Ultimately, I broke up with him that Thanksgiving break.
Proposal number 2, 20-somethings.
Proposal number 2, oh right, that was Jeffrey. He's the a**hole. We were playing house very early on in our relationship, and I don't know why I proposed to him, except for I got really carried away in the moment, so I didn't really see what a jerk Jeffrey was until we were living together and struggling with money and relationship issues in a real way. I got bit by a romantic bug. I jumped in my car and I drove to where Jeffrey was working, 3 hours away. He was doing construction at the time and staying in the town where he was working. And I just kind of said, you know, I gave one of those like little speeches where you're like, you know, I've been thinking about us and my life and what I want for my life and all of that, blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of looked at me and he had these very feminine eyes, very soft with these long eyelashes. I kind of got through my whole speech and choked out, you know, will you marry me? As he was batting his eyes, he knew where I was going with it. And he, you know, he said, yes. And quite honestly, I think that I just am a sucker for marriage. I'm a sucker for the idea of marriage, for the romance of it, for the idea that two people would want to spend their lives together and what that means. It's so beautiful that it, like, it chokes me up even now. And it's something that I almost am like an addict, not an addict, but I have to remind myself, like, Damali, like, if you're looking for that ideal, that kind of energy, you know, that maybe you're going to make some bad choices, right? We got matching thumb rings. Yeah, thumb rings. They were just silver bands, you know. We picked them out together. And then I had all these wedding plans in my head. Anytime we started talking about the wedding, whether he brought it up or I did, we would get into a giant fight. We would fight about the wedding. We would fight about everything. We would fight about money. We would fight about food. We would fight about television shows. We would fight about my family. We would fight about his family. We just fought constantly. We were just constantly at each other's throats. The relationship ended, and I always say, Piggy saved my life. She did kind of save my life. So Piggy was this character on The Real World. Oh, no, it was Road Rules. Road Rules Australia, maybe. And Piggy was this British, half-black, half-white, biracial woman character. And I thought she was great. I was just in love with her. I thought she was fantastic because she kept bringing the conversation about race up in such a fascinating way, because she had a big crush on one of the white guys there, and then the black guy was like, why are you acting white? There was this, all this really great energy. And so I was really hooked on her. And so anyway, one day we're watching the TV show and Piggy comes up and we're pretty quiet. And Jeffrey says, oh, she looks biracial today. Usually she looks white. And I flipped out. Like, I got so angry because I thought, after, you know, 2 years of being with me, you should know what an idiotic thing that is to say. Like, you don't say a person of color looks white. They don't look white. That is just showing your very narrow understanding of what people of color are. So I took him up on this, and I started talking to him about it, and he was like, oh, you think everybody's a person of color? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he made a crack about my family. And my family has a lot of interesting race dynamics in it. My mother is half white, as far as we know. Her family is very secretive. There's some hiding of racial identity in her family. We don't know what it is. It's probably black and or Jewish. We don't know. So I was dealing with a lot of stuff with my family at the time. So the fact that he went right for the hard part on me and right with a racial crack about my family, I just screamed in his face so incredibly loud. And I got up and I walked to the other room, and that was it. I was like, this is over. And the next day, I packed up all of my stuff. I basically moved out of the house, but I packed up everything and stuck it in my meditation room, which was like an extra room we had in our house. And I called a friend of mine, and I went to a friend's house. I left him a note, actually. I left him one of those, like, hey, I left your ass kind of notes, and this is where I'll be, and, you know, I'll come back for my stuff. And Jeffrey ended up changing the locks on the doors and wouldn't give me any of my stuff back until I paid him $1,000, which at that point was an enormous amount of money. You know, there are those moments where you're looking back on your life, and I was thinking about all the relationships I've had and kind of sending everybody good vibes, like really hoping that people had found the right person for them, that they were happy and doing well, and lucky that I had known and been able to love so many wonderful people. And then I thought, except Jeffrey. I hope Jeffrey doesn't find anybody. He's a real asshole. He doesn't deserve to be happy. He had a very violent underscore to his personality, which I had known, but as we got closer and we got more involved and we had, you know, real challenges with each other, that violent streak started to kind of emerge, and I started to kind of feel very trapped in my own household with him. One of our main problems was around money. Like, I was a struggling artist and he was doing construction, and so he took on this big, like, martyr complex, and that made him really just, like, a crank. So there came a point where the tensions rose so high in our household that I started to hide purchases from him, even something as simple as a half of a leftover burrito that I had had from a friend. I remember hiding it under the bed, and I don't know how to describe it in that, like, I felt like I was always ready for Jeffrey to hit me. But at some point after we broke up, I said to him, you know, sometimes I wish you had just hit me. I wish you had just done it, instead of it always being this looming kind of energy around us. And he just looked at me and said, yeah.
Proposal number 3, 30-somethings.
Third and final proposal was kind of like hitting rock bottom, I think. I met this guy, David, and he was a friend of another artist friend of mine. We met in person at a book reading here in Portland, but he doesn't live here. He lives somewhere else. And we started this kind of I am chatter together and really had a great time kind of hitting it off. And I started to feel like he was hinting towards more intimate stuff. We did a lot of like video chatting, and he was like, I'm going to show you this little book. And it was kind of about these two misfits that were in relationships, and they were always kind of losing themselves in relationships, and then they found each other and they were perfect together. I was like, wow, he must be talking about us. And so I started to kind of let my mind think that way. And I was telling my friends, and I was like, okay, there's these two guys I'm kind of interested in. They might be interested in me. One of them is always trying to get me to go out with him, so I'm just going to say, like, yeah, like, great, let's do it, let's go out. And the other one, I'm just kind of see. I sent the pictures and stuff to my friends, like, okay, here's the options. And so then I had a date with the first one, and it was horrible. It was just, like, boring. And then I was like, okay, well, then it must be David. And I just had this overwhelming surge of emotion, like, okay, I'm going to just kind of be funny, but, like, we're both in our 30s. We're both at that place where it's like, oh, hey, you know, there's probably not going to be a lot of options for us, so we have each other, so, like, why not just be together? Like, why not? Yeah, we weren't even dating. So, yeah, and I totally proposed to him over IM. I was like, hey, check it out, David, let's get married. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, totally serious. I am such a stupid romantic that I can find a romance in even the, like, weakest of proposal scenarios, because there's whatever a good story is a good story. But he was like, you're crazy. And I was like, come on, like, we're great together. And he was like, I don't feel that way, and all this kind of stuff. And I remember being really attached to it, like, really upset. Like, he didn't see what I saw in the moment, you know? He didn't see that, like, potential beautiful start to a relationship story and all this. But when I look back, I really think, okay, I had this kind of bad addiction to artsy, emotional, kind of sensitive behaving, often guys that call themselves feminists but really aren't. And David was the end of the road for me with that. Like, he was the absolute last one. In order to kind of get over that streak, I had to kind of dive in all the way. It was very similar to when I quit smoking and I sat at this bar and I put a nearly entire full pack of cigarettes on the table and I just said, I'm not leaving until I smoke every last one. And I did. I smoked every last one, and I haven't smoked since. What I have learned, a couple of things, but one of the biggest things is that I always move faster than everybody, pretty much in general around me, whether it's work, productivity, relationships. I'm just fast. And people have said this to me all the time, like, it's really hard to keep up with you. And I'm realizing that in order for me to feel like this person, whoever it may be, really, really, truly loves and adores me and wants to be with me, I have to wait for him to get there. And so if I move things too quickly, I won't like get that feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't had one of those moments where I feel like pleasantly surprised and loved and invited into that. I'm always pushing the envelope. So I just decided I need to stop doing that, and the proposals were definitely a symptom of that. And I just really want someone to be ready and to want me. And so I guess I need that proposal coming from them would be like they're saying that to me as well. Mark my words, I will never propose to another man again.